right, welcome into the bullpen here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. How's it going, Evan?
It's going good. How about you?
Pretty good. I'm tired, as always. Yeah. Just want to take a nap, but I can't
because I'm busy. The universal human emotion, tired.
Taking a nap, I thought, was where you're going to go with that.
The universal response to being tired is the nap.
So. Or at least the desire to take a nap, because I think a lot of us are just like, I can't actually do it.
Yeah.
At least I'm that way. I don't know about you. So.
No. I agree.
That's good. Anyway, I guess we're just going to jump into things and go over our wall of shame. Shame.
Lots of shame. It never stops.
It never ends. Literally never. I mean, there's always shameful things that people are doing.
The other human emotion, universal human emotion.
Shame. Anyway, I'll just jump off and get mine going. So last week, Jay Crowder, he's a member of the Boston Celtics, and he was, getting an interview because he's playing with Team USA, and they just had time to ask them questions, and they were kind of asking him about how the pitch to Durant went for the Celtics, because Jay Crowder was there. And the reason why they're going into the wall of shame, it's not really just him, it's the team, the Celtics. Because in their pitch, they showed him, they showed Durant how, because they were the only team to beat both the Celtics and the Cavaliers on their home courts last year, to beat both teams. And they were like, went through and showed them different ways that they defended, like LeBron and Steph Curry and stuff, and like kind of their game plan against them. And then Kevin Durant goes and signs with Steph Curry's team. So he just like gave them a bunch of insight.
All their plans.
Yeah, gave them a bunch of insight onto how they're going to defend Steph Curry. So now they can prepare for it. And Jay Crowder said he was pretty ticked off about that because, I mean, afterwards he's like, yeah, maybe it was a dumb idea to do that in the first place. But he's like, but we thought there was no way like that he was going to end up with the Warriors. So it wouldn't really matter. But then he goes to the Warriors. So
showing your cards.
So yeah, really. Showing your cards to someone who's not on your team, that, to me, is shame-worthy.
Now, it's been a while since Little League sports for me, but I think even back then that was the rule, is don't tell the other team what your plan is.
Yeah, like seriously, because you can't do it, because then the other team knows what to do against you. So now the Warriors are going to know how they're going to be defending them, so now they're going to have to come up with something different. Either that or just do it really well. So yeah, that's my entry for the Hall of Shame.
Or maybe in some strange conspiracy he knew they wouldn't get Durant. And so then he's like, we're going to give you all this fake information.
Could be, but I don't think they would bring it up.
Probably not.
Or maybe they would. I don't know. Maybe you're onto something. Conspiracy theories.
Maybe it's a conspiracy.
I mean, that reminds me, tomorrow night they're going to be doing it, is Library Mysteries, Thursdays at 7. Because, I mean, they're going to be starting, I think it's going to be tomorrow. But anyway, so they go over conspiracy theories on that show, so I'll just have to shoot them a message and say, hey,
NBA related,
figure this one out. Like, let us know what you find out,
so we can share off refs and sharing team plans.
Yeah, and false team plans.
Yeah, false.
But by what we're going with right now,
because that would be a really stupid conspiracy. But that might actually be what happened, more than likely. So.
Could be.
Welcome to the Wall of Shame. Boston Celtics.
Yeah, and so who do you got for the Wall of Shame today?
Well, I've got, this goes back to last week. We're just getting back from the All-Star break at that point last week. And the Giants losing their first five games back.
Right. They got swept by the Padres.
The Padres. So that in and of itself gets you on the Wall of Shame. But the thing is, they finally got the MLB's best record right at the end of the first half, and came back and went on that five-game losing streak. And so I was kind of looking back, and I found that the other team to have the best record and then lose their first, several, like 5 to 7 games, was the 91 Dodgers, who lost their first seven games back after the All-Star break, even though they had the best record in the major leagues, didn't even make the postseason that year. So
that's terrible.
So this could be the Giants, you know, blowing the best record in baseball eventually.
It could be. And, like, going off of that, I just thought of another one that I want to add to it.
Oh.
It's because this goes back to the power rankings. So after they had gotten swept, ESPN's power rankings still had the Giants at number one in the power rankings, despite just being swept by the Padres. I was like, sure,
yeah,
you don't have to, like, put them at the bottom of the league or anything, but... But can you leave someone Padres. Number one when they lose three straight games to a losing team?
See, I thought it was bad when they kept... When the Cubs went on their little disaster run toward the end of that half of the season, I thought they were making excuses up for them with the power rankings because the Cubs stayed at number one. This is just, you know, on equal par with with that, you know. So somebody loves the National League,
apparently.
The power ranking factory or wherever they
are. I mean, I personally prefer the National League, but that's
sure.
Partly because my favorite team is on the National League. So, yeah, and I hope that the Giants continue to do poorly because then my Dodgers can move up and take over at first place in their division. So I'm not at all sad when the Giants lose.
Well, if history is our guide, the Giants might have blown it. So
they might be done, guys. Might be done.
Someone's going to come back at the end of the season and reference what I've just said and give me the worst time for it. But so there's my wall of shame. Entry.
Just the one?
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I guess we'll just jump into what we're going to be talking about mostly today, and that is... drumroll. That would be college football. Love college football.
College football
is the best. So last week, CampusInsiders.com came out with their... prediction of all 128 teams in the FBS, how they would finish, and rank them based on where they would finish. And there are some head scratchers. There's some, I don't think that's right, but I mean, maybe, like, events. And also, there's some that's really like, yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of easy.
Yeah.
There's also some that are pretty funny, too. Like, for instance, we'll just start out with the worst team, according to them. It's going to be UMass, Massachusetts.
Home of the Minutemen?
Yeah. So, what they say is what's going to happen. 1-11. So they said they're going to be double-digit underdogs in every game, except for the home layup against Wagner.
Hopefully that'll be their homecoming.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't have their schedule up or anything, but I mean, for their sake, yeah, hopefully. I mean, that's what BYU did last year.
just watch them blow it against whatever, Wagner or whatever that...
Wagner.
It'd
be hilarious because Wagner is absolutely terrible. They're Division II school, and they get beat up by everybody. You know, they played BYU last year, and I think it was
Bless
BYU's
their
homecoming.
Hearts.
Bless their
They're
hearts.
They're just trying.
They try so hard. But no, Wagner is absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. And last year they played against BYU, and BYU dominated them, obviously. I'm pretty sure it was their homecoming, which it's embarrassing for BYU that you schedule Wagner as
Wait,
your
that
homecoming.
Was BYU's homecoming?
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah,
on
I know.
BYU's part, like...
Like, pick someone that's at least Division I.
You know, Wagner...
I might be wrong about that. I'll have to look it up.
For the Wagner fans, it can only go up, but BYU, if that's what your home... Your homecoming is, even if you win that game, it doesn't really seem like a victory to me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was, first off, I mean, I guess the reason why they played them is because they couldn't get anyone else. Literally couldn't get anyone else. But...
Who did they ask if they had to resort to...
Well, I mean, they did it in the middle of everyone's conference schedule, so there's not a lot of options. But you'd think they would be able to get, like... Army or Navy
some halfway decent.
Well, some independent team. Like, someone had to have had a free game. But, yeah, so, I mean, BYU has had terrible schedules for a couple years. But this year, they have a pretty tough schedule, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
They finally learned their lesson.
Yeah. yeah, so I mean, it is what it is, but yeah, that was just taking into account that Wagner played BYU last year. So it would be hilarious if BYU would have lost. Would have laughed so hard.
It's kind of like saying you schooled a 5-year-old in 1-on-1. It's like, okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically, Wagner's a glorified high school team, and not a good one.
It's like glorified JV.
I mean, like, you could get Bingham, that's down in South Jordan. Like, they've got a really good football program. They always do really well.
Bingham versus Wagner.
Well, I mean, so, like, they're a really good football team. They're probably better than Wagner. I kind of want to see that now and see what happens.
Now I just want to transfer to Wagner just to walk on with the team.
That, I mean, you probably could. Maybe, I don't know. I don't. Maybe they're getting better. I mean, maybe it's too early to say, be that harsh on them. But still, I mean, I just thought it was funny because it's like a layup against Wagner.
But, I mean, you know, to their credit, you got to, you know, for them to agree to play BYU, I think. It's at least something.
Yeah.
they're trying, I guess, if you call it trying. But anywho.
Yeah, I had this this shirt when I was in high school, I think. I was in high school. That said, triathlete, at least I tried. Even though I didn't. I didn't ever try a triathlon. That'd be hard. So difficult. Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, I want to jump to the top of the list, and we'll go down a little bit and talk about the ones that kind of stick out to me.
Marathon, all 28 teams.
Number one, they've got LSU. LSU is usually pretty good, but I don't know that I think that they're going to end up the best team at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't know about number one. I know, you know, easily top 10, you know, but number one.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them ending up top 10. I don't see them winning. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot better teams in the SEC. They're a good team, but I don't think that they're the best. So that one kind of surprised me. They think that they're going to make it to the college football playoff and stuff. So yeah, I mean, they probably have the talent to do it, but I don't believe in quarterbacks from LSU. I mean, the last time they had a quarterback that they were high on was Jamarcus Russell, and we all know how that went. He got drafted first overall and absolutely didn't do anything. The worst draft bust in the history of the NFL, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of people. Ryan Leaf is definitely up there, but Ryan Leaf was also number two, not number one. But, yeah, so, I mean, LSU's got number one. Number two, Ohio State. I can see that one. They've got a lot of talent. They did lose a lot on defense, so it'll be tough for them to maintain what they've been doing, but I can see them making it back there. Oklahoma, number three. They were really good last year. They're good chance they'll be better. I'm fine with that. This next one is where I take the most issue.
Okay.
Number four, Boise State.
Wow.
Right?
Okay. I didn't think they would give a Mountain West team that good of a...
No, I mean, they wouldn't give it to anyone but Boise State because Boise State's so great. Yeah. No, they're not. I mean, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. They're a good team. But number four in the country, and they think that they're going to go undefeated.
Do they have, like, reasons for this? Or
yeah, I mean, so, yeah, for they say what's going to happen. They say 13-0. Boise State will put up astronomical numbers against the weak and the sad, get by Washington State and Oregon State, and roll through the Mountain West on their way to a strong conference championship win over San Diego State. The national argument will ensue about the Broncos being worthy of the college football playoff, but they'll be a conference champ and the only FBS unbeaten team. Welcome to the number four spot. If that happens, if they are able to go undefeated, I can see that. But I don't think they're going to go undefeated because they have games against Washington State, Oregon State, BYU, and us that... You know, I don't think that they're going to win all those games. In fact, I think that they're going to lose three of those games. I mean, I think that they lose to Washington State because people really underestimate Washington State in my mind. Washington State can put up numbers like crazy. Like, they're so good on offense. Their defense is kind of suspect a lot of the time. But I feel like they'll be able to do enough that they'll be able to get a win against them. Also, Oregon State, there's another team that, you know, is people are kind of not very high on. But now you've got, not only do we have Anderson, who used to be our coach, you know, he's there now.
Oh, yeah.
Kalani Sitake, the former, or I guess, no, he's not there anymore. He went to BYU. He was doing the defense. So the defense had been learning stuff along those lines, and they were always doing really well under him. So I imagine they're going to continue to improve.
A lot of the same guys, probably.
Yeah. So they're going to be able to have a good defense. They'll have a good offense because I think Gary Anderson does a good job with the offense. And I think, and they're playing in Corvallis. So I say that Boise State's not going to win that one in my mind. They could, but I don't think they will. And against us, I still think we're as good of a team as they are.
Yeah,
I mean, and I think that, you know, we'll be trying to complete a really good season, and I think that we'll get the win against them.
Yeah, I always feel like when we play them, we have a shot. Like, it's never,
yeah,
it's never like out of the question that we could pull out a win from that one. So, yeah, I think you're right that they probably won't go undefeated, at least with the big the four teams that they do have on their schedule like that.
Yeah, I mean, mostly their schedule is pretty easy.
Yeah.
But I don't think they go undefeated, though. Like, I think that they're going to lose at least two of those four games, if not three of them. I don't think they're as good as people think they are. Like, last year, obviously, we smacked them around and just destroyed them.
Yeah.
They had a bad game. We had a great game.
Yeah, but all it takes is, like, one bad week.
Yeah.
You know, and lose your ranking.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, if they lose one game, like, there's no chance they're going to be in the playoff. Not with the schedule that they have. If they were playing tough teams like the SEC every week or the Pac-12, then you could get away with having a loss. But not with the schedule that they have. But here's the thing. Like, as I was talking about that game against us last year, obviously they're going to come back and want revenge against us in that game. But at the same time, we were getting beat up every year for so long by them that we're not going to just be, like, confident that we don't have to work and we're like, just do what we did last year. And we also don't want to let them have that advantage on us again. So I think we're going to come motivated, and I think we're going to win.
We'd be there this year.
Yeah, it's going to be in Boise. I still think that we're going to win, though. But, I mean, I'm extremely optimistic about Utah State at all times. And all the teams that I root for, I'm extremely optimistic.
School spirit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that we're going to do well. I think that we'll have a great season. We'll talk more about Utah State in a little bit. But I think that we beat them. So, the first off, four is, you know, kind of ridiculous. But they could go undefeated, but I don't think it's going to happen.
But even though, like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like a Mountain West team would even be within a shot's distance of getting a top four pick.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you are Boise State, I mean, they've had good seasons where they're not even.
Yeah, but I mean, they're more well-recognized at this point. They've got more prestige. If they do go undefeated and they're the only undefeated team, I mean, you kind of have to give them a chance. I
think they could lose to, was it San Diego State? That might have to
play. I don't think San Diego State's as good as people think they are. I think that their game against us last year was a fluke. I say we beat them, and that's another one. They've got them 23 on this list, and I really don't think that they're that good. they're a decent team, but I don't think that they're that good. They're the best team on that half of the conference in that division. But yeah, I don't think that they're worthy of top 25 either.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get to them in a little bit. I have problems with the next two as well. So number five, they have Tennessee. Number six, Houston.
Really?
Yeah. Right. I mean, first off, Tennessee, they've been improving. But I don't think that they're going to be number five.
Especially playing the SEC.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they made lots of strides forward last year. They're doing really well.
But you can be great in the SEC and still, I mean, great as a football team, but then once you play your own conference, in that conference,
yeah,
all bets are off, really.
Yeah, a lot of the best teams in the country are in that conference. But it would be really hard for them, I think, to go 11-1 like they think that they're going to do. That's the prediction for Campus Insiders, is that they think that they're going to go 11-1. So, I don't see it. I think maybe 9-3.
And the SEC has the... They also have the division. Like, there's two.
Yeah.
Like, an East and West.
East and West, like, yeah. And they are in the weaker one. I'm pretty sure they're in the Eastern.
Oh, yeah, the Western half is definitely weaker. I don't know who...
No, the Western half is the strong one.
Strong one, okay, yeah.
They're in the East, I believe. I'm pretty sure. But they've got, like, Kentucky and Vanderbilt on their side, and Florida, South Carolina, Georgia. So, I mean, it's obviously, they're still not slouches, but it's not as tough as Alabama, Auburn,
yeah.
LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, all those guys all together. Yeah. But yeah, I think that they have gotten a lot better, but I don't think that they're going to be 11-1. So I think that they'll probably be pretty good, but I don't think they'll be number 5. And Houston, another one that I'm just like, I don't think that they're that good. I mean,
yeah.
Decent team again, but not 11-1 and 6 in the country. Good. Yeah, but then they've got Alabama at 7, which I don't know how you ever put Alabama that low to start out. Like, make them prove to you that they're going to be bad, because they've been so good for so long that there's no reason why you should.
Well, I mean, they've been in the top 2 conversation for years straight now.
Yeah, and they've won.
I mean, to go that far down the list seems a little bit of a... I mean, it seems a lot more than just a little bit of a stretch, but...
Yeah, they won, like, what is it, like 3 of the last 5 national championships or something?
Yeah.
They've been absolutely ridiculous, and, yeah, they graduate people, but they've got, like, the best recruiting class almost every year.
Yeah, so even if the NFL draft takes everybody, they'll have tons of, you know, younger...
Yeah,
you know, athletes come take their place, so...
Yeah, and so, we're not going to go through all of these, but... Some other ones, let's see, where I'm a little bit head-scratcher. Wisconsin, 18. I kind of don't think it's going to happen because I feel like Wisconsin always is primed to disappoint people. I mean, they're in the same conference as Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State, and Iowa. Like, they're in the same conference as those guys, and I don't see them winning against all those teams, or possibly any of them.
Well, especially if Iowa comes back with, you know, the same way it played last year, you know, before they lost at the end of the season. You know, that's going to be, you know, I think Iowa's kind of coming into the picture with the Big Ten as well. At least it's coming back. But,
I think so too. So, I mean, they will be good, I think, but not that good. Not as good as they're saying. Here's the head scratcher I was talking about. San Diego State. They had them going 11-1. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And I have to look at their schedule, but I just don't think they're that good. I think they're probably a 4-loss team at the end of the year. They're probably still the best team in the... Like the West, I don't know what the conferences are called.
Yeah, I think it's
Western
Mountain
Conference
and the West Conference
or Pacific, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Their division. I think that they'll probably still be the best team, but I don't think that they're going to go 11-1, and I don't think that they're going to be 23rd team in the country. But here's the one that kind of drives me nuts: Stanford at 26.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford with Christian McCaffrey. With a team that absolutely destroyed Iowa in the Rose Bowl. Sure, they graduated some players, but it's not like that doesn't happen all the time.
So is this where you're thinking they were put too low?
Way too low.
As opposed to, okay.
Yeah, this is a team I think can compete for the national championship next year. I mean, obviously they're going to have to earn it, but I think of them as a top 4 team. Like, I think they make it to the playoff, and any time that Christian McCaffrey touches the ball, you know, he can break it and go for 6. You know, he's that good, and they're always great on defense. They're always great at, like, running their offense. They're solid on both sides of the ball all the time, and they just... The thing about it is they don't necessarily try to be flashy. I mean, obviously Christian McCaffrey is kind of flashy, but It's not that they're trying to be. He just is.
Yeah.
So they're, like, always solid, and they always do really well. And so, for me, putting them at 26 is just stupid and irresponsible, I guess. Because you have the guy that should have won the Heisman last year, in my opinion, and it'll be the one of the top candidates this year, along with Leonard Fournette from LSU. Like, those two guys are going to be the ones to watch out for, along with another one. It's Chad Kelly. He's a quarterback for Ole Miss. And I also think Ole Miss is ranked low at 24. But it doesn't bug me as much just because they have that tough division, and it's hard to keep them real high if they have a few losses. So, but yeah, so that's another one. Ole Miss, I think, is ranked low. They're at 24 on this. But Chad Kelly, probably going to be the best quarterback in the country next year. Probably be the first pick in the draft next year. But you got him is another one that's a Heisman candidate. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, I have a hard time betting against him. When he breaks the all-purpose yards record set by Barry Sanders in a season, yeah, you should probably not discount this guy. Now, I'm not saying that he's as talented as Barry Sanders, because, I mean, he has to earn that. But he could. You know, he's got the potential to do it.
Do they have any other Pac-12 teams higher up than that, or is that...
Yeah, they've got Oregon up there, which Oregon has been on the down, like the decline the last couple of years. They've got them at 11, which I think is too high. Because, like, if you watch them, they... I mean, last year, you could really see it against Utah. Did you see that game when they played Utah?
I believe I remember a little bit of it.
They're in Eugene, which is extremely tough to win in Eugene, at Oregon. And Utah goes up there and hangs like 56 points on them and just slaughters them. It was a fun game to watch for anyone who's not an Oregon fan. And it was like payback for all the times that Oregon's done that to them and to everyone else. And so, I mean, and really, Oregon was just an average team last year, and I don't know why that they think that they're going to be suddenly better again. They also have UCLA and USC at 16 and 17, which I feel are about right for those teams, but Stanford, to me, is ranked way too low. They do need to get a new quarterback because Hogan graduated, but they always have guys. I mean, you think about it, they had Andrew Luck, and then... Kevin Hogan took over after Andrew Luck left, and he's one of the best quarterbacks Stanford has had, too. And so I really feel like people think that they're going to be losing all this talent, but you know, these really good programs that do a good job, they have people waiting to take up stuff. I mean, some guys are really hard to replace, but I don't think Kevin Hogan was. He was a solid quarterback, but...
Well, I think a program that big...
Yeah,
has got people lined up forever.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to suddenly have a gap in their team.
Yeah, and their coach Shaw does a great job. And, you know, he's, since he took over for Harbaugh, like, you know, some people thought that maybe it would go back, like the program would decline. But it's kept the same and even elevated its game even more. So he's done a good job of continuing to have, you know, good recruits and good offense and all that. And so I think Stanford is going to be one of the top four teams in the country. And at the very least, they're not as bad as 26, in my view. They have to replace people, but I think that they have guys waiting.
Yeah.
I see another one. Iowa at 29. I can see that, sort of. But I don't think they'll drop off that much from last year. Let's see.
Well, especially after the phenomenal year last year. I mean,
yeah, they did really well, and so, I mean, they're going to have...
They probably won't do the same thing.
No, probably not. But I do think that they would have picked up several recruits based on how well they did last year.
Oh, sure.
Some good recruits. So, I think that they'll be in good shape. I think that they'll be a top 25 team. I think they kind of overachieved last year, but I also think that they'll be able to continue to do that because it's another one where their division isn't that tough. I mean, they're not over there with Michigan State and Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah.
So their division is the weaker one in the Big Ten. So I think that they'll be able to do pretty well still. But yeah, moving on, they've got, let's see, Utah is 45. I think that's pretty low for Utah. Yeah, they graduated Kyle Wilson and Devontae Booker, but their defense is like plug and play. Like, the scheme does really well, so they should always be pretty good on, like, really good on defense. And that'll help them with problems with their offense. And really, I feel like that they're going to be fine offensively once they actually have the same offensive coordinator for a couple years. You know, that's always nice to have that. So I'm sure that they've got guys coming in because since they went to the Pac-12, they've been getting a lot of better recruits, like even better than they had before. And so they've got lots more opportunities for that. And then here now, with you, like, they lost their quarterback and their running back. The running back, who was extremely good, and I'm really excited to see him play for the Broncos. But I think that they'll have guys coming in that will be able to fill in, kind of like with Stanford. I don't think that Utah has as good of kind of like that continuity as Stanford, but I also don't think they're going to drop that this much. I still think that they're a top 25 team. But of course, time will tell. But at the very least, I think that they're in 20s, at the very least. Another one, Mississippi State dropping to 49. Kind of surprised by that. I don't know. It's another team from the SEC that, like, they always tend to be, or they've been really good for a few years. I don't really think they're going to drop that much. Yeah. But
it's kind of hard to see SEC teams lower than that, just considering how good the conference is. I mean, obviously there's teams that are relatively, you know, bad for SEC standards, but
like
it's hard to see
Kentucky.
It's hard to see it get too much worse than...
Yeah, well, I mean, with Mississippi State, they've got a lot of good players, and so I'm surprised by it. I don't think that they're going to be that bad. Sure, I don't think they'll be as good as last year, but I mean, I still think of them as a better team than that. But then moving on down the list for a ways, we're going to talk about a couple of the local teams. They've got BYU at number 81. To me, this makes sense.
Okay.
The reason why is BYU has an extremely tough schedule. Extremely tough. Like, last year, they played a bunch of patty cakes and... like,
I think the past couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is just because it sucks trying to be, be an independent team. It's hard to schedule everyone because they've got their conference games. But really, this year is going to come down hard on them. And
so who they've got?
So I'm pulling up the thing right now. So this is how their season goes. They play at Arizona. Well, I mean, they're playing in Glendale, but it's in Arizona.
Yeah.
It's not at their usual one. Then they play at Utah.
Okay.
Against UCLA at home. In Maryland against West Virginia. And then they play at home against Toledo. Then at Michigan State. Home against Mississippi State, which is their homecoming. At Boise State. Then they have a bye week. Then at Cincinnati, against Southern Utah, against UMass, and against us at home.
Okay.
So, the way I see it, they're going to lose. I think that they're going to lose to Arizona, Utah, UCLA, and West Virginia. Start at 0-4. Then they'll beat Toledo, I think. And then they'll lose to Michigan State, Mississippi State, and Boise State. So they're going to end up
like
being
1-7.
One in seven, yeah. And then they'll have their bye week. And then they'll get some momentum and win their next three against lesser competition. And then they're going to play against us. And at that point, and this is why I believe that we're going to beat them, even though it's down there in Provo. I mean, we beat them last time we played in Provo. But, yeah, this time they're going to be sitting at 4-7. You know, just their glorious dreams of being undefeated again. like that they always
probably
have.
Probably no bowl game at that point for them.
No, no.
So.
I mean, if they win that game, they have a chance, but it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
Because most, I mean, it was only last year that they actually had 5-7 teams go to the bowl games. But they're going to be really beat up at the end of the season, being sitting at 4-7 when they play against us. And I think that we're going to be doing pretty well. Did a podcast with Logan Jones that's going to be on an article for the Statesman that, you know, I talked about how I think that we're going to go 11-1 this year. And so I think we're going to be riding high. We're going to be playing really well. And they're going to be beat up and kind of downtrodden from a terrible season. And I'd say that we beat them. They finished 4-8.
Let's give them a good send-off.
Right?
See you next year.
So, basically, Campus Insiders has them going 5-7. So almost the same thing as me. I think that they have them beating us. But I don't think that they will. Maybe that's because I have the obligatory we're going to beat BYU thing. But, but yeah, I mean, that's really tough.
Yeah.
Really tough schedule. when you have to play Arizona.
Kudos to them
at
for
Utah,
putting a tough schedule.
In Maryland against West Virginia, at Michigan State, and at home against Mississippi State, and at Boise State. That is a rough schedule.
It's going to be fun to watch, though.
And at home against UCLA, too. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have to do all that, and at home against us, who we always want to beat them, and so we always are going to come out prepared, except for last year.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the year before that, going there and winning,
yeah,
big, you know.
And yeah, people, all BYU fans will say, it's because Taysom got hurt, but it's like, were you watching the game? We already were up, we already had the momentum.
Yeah.
And
if all it takes is one guy to be out of the game,
then
your team
isn't
collapsed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not that impressive, you know.
But, well, like I said, we already had the advantage. We already had the momentum. And so for them to say that, it's just like, no, that wasn't why. We were still going to win that game.
Oh.
Because we won by 3 touchdowns. Is your quarterback? No, their problem was their defense. Their defense could not defend our passing game. And I really wish that Daryl Gerritsen would still be here. Hopefully he picks apart Boise State this year when he plays against them. Because he's at Oregon State now.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to be able to play this year. So look out for Daryl Gerritsen on Oregon State. I think he's going to throw the ball all over Boise State. And that's why they're going to beat them. Moving up, we're sitting at 83.
Okay.
So 2 spots behind BYU. And they think we're going to go 6-6. They're going to start out 3-1, according to them, and then we're going to just do kind of what we did last year, where we're like Jekyll and Hyde the second half of the season.
Struggle along.
But this is the thing, is like when I look at our schedule, there's not, the only team that I think would be tough for us to beat is USC. I don't think we're going to beat USC. We play them the second game of the year at USC. Be really tough for us to win that game.
Yeah.
However, everyone else, it's a winnable game. Not with the two tough ones being at BYU and at Boise State. Those will be tough games, but I still think we're better than both teams.
Conclusions, then.
Yeah, they're not. And I believe that we're the better team when compared against those two, both of them. Maybe that's me being extremely optimistic, but I think that we're going to be better than them. I mean, yeah, we've got work to do on defense, but our offense should be better this year than it was last year. We got Devontae Mays, who's going to do an excellent job, I think. He did when he... The more he got carries, the better he did. And last year, he went off at times. I think that he'll kind of be the catalyst for us this year. And I think if we establish the run every game, then we'll be in great shape. The problem is if we decide that we're going to, you know, do our pass around game where we aren't actually being aggressive with the passes, where we're just kind of like throwing these short, like 3-yard out routes on 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the problem for me, is our third down plays were, they left things to be desired because we were always just throwing it short. We weren't trying to get the first down a lot of the times. At least that's what it felt like. But yeah, so we start out home against Weber, at USC, home against Arkansas State, home against Air Force, at Boise State, at Colorado State, home against Fresno, home against San Diego State, at Wyoming, home against New Mexico, at Nevada, at BYU. That's not a tough schedule in my mind. No. I think we're going to beat Weber. We should throttle Weber like we did last time we played them. We can't pull an SUU thing like last year and feel comfortable about things. I think we'll be competitive at USC, but I don't think we can get the win there. Well, we should beat Arkansas State. Should beat Air Force. We should have beat them last year. I think we can beat Boise State. It'll be a tough game. Could go either way. Colorado State, we should beat. We're a better team. They don't have Higgins this year, their wide receiver that was really good. And then we're playing at home against Fresno, who we slaughtered at Fresno last year. Home against San Diego State, who we're going to want revenge against from last year because we didn't show up in that game down there. On top of that, that's going to be the last week of October, so it's going to start getting cold. It's going to be cold at that point, and they're coming from San Diego. So, for me, I don't think that they're going to be... I don't think they're going to do as well as maybe they would at home because of the weather. And the worse the weather, the better, I think. Yeah. And then we go at Wyoming, first week of November, which will be really cold for us, but... I mean, we're going to be used to it. It's not that much different from here. But Wyoming is also not a very good team. One of the worst in the FBS. We'll figure out where they're at on this list in a minute. But then we got New Mexico. We should have beat last year. And that's going to be a good revenge game, as Logan and I talked about. We should beat them and beat them handily. Nevada is a... inferior team, and I think we beat them out there. That puts us, if we win all those games, like even if we lose to Boise State, we're still going to be 9-2 when we go against BYU. Like if all things don't go that well. Again, I think that we'll beat Boise State because I think we're as good as they are, and I think that, you know, for them, I think that it was a trap game. We have to look that up. But then we go to Provo, which. It is an away game, but we'll still have lots of support, especially if they're sitting at.
But still, I think
4-7.
Yeah. If they're below 500 and we're 9-2, I mean the mental game is just. I think our players would just be in a much better state, you know, feeling good about, you know, being so far 9-2 versus a below 500 BYU team. I think would be a pretty enticing. You know, enticing mindset to have. So.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm very optimistic, but I think we can go 11-1 on this. You know, that's probably our ceiling, is getting 11-1, because I don't think that we can go undefeated. If we can, that'd be great. Okay. But I don't think it's gonna happen. But yeah, so, and this is with Boise State, they're going to be coming off of games against Washington State and Oregon State. Well, they had a bye in between those, but then they're going to play us. So, I mean, they're going to be coming off of, I think, a tough loss for them at Oregon State, I mean. And, yeah, I think that they're going to, they're going to probably be down a little bit from having a loss there. But yeah, so, and then Oregon State on this list is 87, and I think that's low. I think that they're going to surprise people. I mean, I don't blame people for thinking that, but I think that Gary Anderson will have turned the program in a positive direction. I think that they're going to be bowl eligible this year, and I think that they're going to get some wins that surprise people, but I don't think I'll be surprised. Especially like the win against Boise State, I think they're going to get it. But yeah, it's pure conjecture on my part. Let's see. Wyoming is at 107 on this list. They have them going 4-8. Yeah, they have a really good running back, but they've got so many holes everywhere where they don't have very good talent. And so it's going to be tough for them to do well. So even though they're going to be at home and they'll have a home field advantage, because Wyoming fans are really loyal. Yeah. They do a good job of sticking with their team regardless of how well they think they're going to do. But I still think like we're going to win that game. The one thing about the USC game where we could actually get a win is it's kind of a trap game for them. And the reason why I say that is because they start out the season. Do you know how they play?
No.
Alabama. Alabama against USC week one in Texas. So at Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Oh, okay.
So that's their opening game. So obviously they're going to be hyped about playing that game. And then it's going to be a tough game.
Forget about us.
Well, I mean, it's not that so much, but like it's going to be a tough game for them.
Yeah.
Then I don't think they get that win. They could. It's going to be a really good game, I think. But it's hard to bet against Alabama at this point. But they do that, and then they play against us at home, and then they travel to Stanford the next week. Mm. So they got us, lowly us, in between two of their biggest games of the year. Like, they start out fast in this. They go Alabama, us, Stanford, Utah, Arizona State, Colorado, Arizona, California, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and they end with Notre Dame. So, but I mean, starting out at against Alabama and Texas, which, I mean, it's a, you know, neither side really gets, it's technically a home game for them because, like, they'll be the home team, but it's not a home game, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then they play Stanford, who's
being down in Dallas, so I think more Alabama fans are gonna make the trip over.
Could be. I mean, probably. I mean, I feel like they're probably more devoted, but at the same time, it's kind of right in the middle, so
true. Yeah,
it's not like it's significantly closer to either side.
Yeah.
I think it is a little bit closer to Alabama, but at the same time, it's a lot of people from USC will go. I think, especially with the opportunity to see them play each other. But yeah, so they got Alabama, then us, then Stanford. So they could completely overlook us, and we could surprise them and get a win. Yeah. And how awesome would it be if we ended up going 12-0?
If we just ruined the beginning of their season.
Ruin the season for a lot of people. I mean, because if we go undefeated, we're in that same situation with Boise State. Like, if we go undefeated, as long as there aren't, like, 4 1-loss teams that all look really good, like, we should be in the playoff. But now, it's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah.
And odds are it probably won't happen.
But if it did.
But it's in the realm of possibility.
That would be amazing. That would be, like, the greatest thing.
It would ever. Be so cool. But, yeah. So, I mean, I'm really excited about this football season. And I...
Ray Lewis's kid starts this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Rashad Lewis. He's going to be playing this year. I don't know what position he's going to play because I think he was a wide receiver in high school. And I think he played defense too, but as like a corner. But yeah, I don't know what he's going to play. So it'll be good to see it. Hopefully he, you know, has all the drive and the skills of his father, because that would be awesome. That would be great.
And then if Ray Lewis shows up to the game, that'd be really cool.
Oh, yeah, he'll be there, I'm pretty sure. I mean,
he's got all the time in the world right now.
I mean, he does work for ESPN and stuff, so true. I mean, he does have other things, but it's usually just involved with NFL. Well, is it ESPN or the NFL Network? Either way, he works for
it's
NFL
not college,
stuff.
It wouldn't be college then, I guess.
No, I don't think so. So he should be able to do it. He'd just have to fly out afterwards. So yeah, there's a good chance you could see him. I've seen him a couple times, but yeah, so I mean, it'd be cool to see him at the games. But yes, I mean, that's about all the time we have. You anything that you want to add here at the end?
No, not really. I mean, I think some surprising results. I think it'd be really interesting to see where Utah State goes.
Yeah.
I think...
As long as we don't play Jekyll and Hyde, I think we'll do really well.
Yeah, I think they are... What did they give us, 6-6?
6-6 is
I think they'll do better than that, even if... They drop a couple. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I think worst case scenario we end up 8-4.
Yeah.
I think that's worst. I mean, okay, worst, really worst case scenario, like if we had just a bad season, 6-6, yeah. But I think realistically, 8-4 is kind of where we would be if we had...
If we're on par, I think 8-4 would be.
Yeah. So, I mean...
But I like where the direction that the team's going. I like their recruiting efforts over the summer and so.
Yeah.
So
I think it'll be a positive that we don't have to deal with any like quarterback controversy really.
Yeah.
Kent Myers pretty much is the guy. We don't have to worry about trying to cater to, you know, Chucky, because you know he used to be really great. But then I think that kind of hurt us a little bit. But yeah, so that's how I see it. Yeah, we want to thank everyone for listening. Make sure you tune in on Friday for our next show. And, yeah, I don't know what it's about yet, but I'll let you know. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great day.
See ya.